Ever been told you're tone-deaf, unmusical, hopeless at rhythm? Gary Marcus heard all of this, and he's a Harvard-trained cognitive psychologist who should know better than to believe it. Yet at 38, after a lifetime of musical humiliation, picture a fourth grader butchering hot cross buns on the recorder, he did something audacious. He decided to learn guitar from scratch. Not dabble, not noodle around, actually learn, with the rigor of a scientist conducting an experiment on himself. What he discovered challenges everything we think we know about talent, age, and the supposed windows for learning complex skills. His journey became a landmark in music education, now studied at Juilliard and Berkeley, because it asks a question that haunts millions of us. Is it ever too late to become who we might have been? Conventional wisdom claims you must start music young. Miss that childhood window and you're locked out. Cases like Jeannie, isolated from language until 13 and never fully recovering, seemed to prove this. But the evidence has been misread. Recent research reveals remarkable adult brain plasticity. Tom Morello started guitar at 17, Patti Smith in her mid-20s. Pat Martino completely relearned guitar after a brain aneurysm at 35 erased his musical memory. These aren't flukes. They're proof the brain rewires itself. The breakthrough came from barn owls. Young owls adapted faster to visual distortions, seemingly confirming critical periods. But when researchers broke tasks into smaller steps, older owls succeeded too. This owl-style learning, chunking complex skills into manageable pieces, became foundational to Marcus's approach. The brain doesn't slam shut at some arbitrary age. It needs different strategies, more patience, deliberate practice targeting specific weaknesses rather than mindless repetition. Your brain is waiting to be rewired, regardless of age. Marcus chose total immersion, the most effective approach for skill acquisition. The brain needs massive exposure to build neural pathways, which regular practice prevents from atrophying. This aligns with psychologist Anders Ericsson's deliberate practice, not about logging 10,000 hours, but how you practice. Real growth happens in the zone of proximal development, tackling challenges just beyond your current ability, succeeding roughly 80% of the time while struggling productively the other 20%. Marcus began with a 2-week pilot at his wife's family cottage, practicing 2 to 6 hours daily. Piano came easily with its logical layout, but guitar captured his heart, despite being brutally difficult. Unlike piano's straightforward key mapping, guitar demands coordinating both hands simultaneously, fretting while picking, memorizing finger shapes, placing them precisely to avoid buzz. His breakthrough came through David Mead's crash course acoustic guitar, which broke everything into digestible chunks. Harvard neuroscientist Gottfried Schlaug's studies show 15 months of music lessons causes measurable growth in brain regions controlling hand movements and pitch perception. Practice literally reshapes your neural architecture. Music's brutal truth? Rules are manageable, but irregularities are murder. Like irregular verbs, music theory's inconsistencies madden beginners. Guitar compounds this torture. That middle C exists in 4 fretboard locations, confusing novices while offering advanced players flexibility. The challenge transcends memorization. Relative pitch, recognizing intervals between notes regardless of key, requires extensive ear training. Physical demands add another layer, contorting fingers into precise chord shapes with zero error margin, developing independent movement, building calluses. Musicians must reshape their hands multiple times per second while maintaining perfect timing, something human brains aren't naturally equipped for. Unlike computers with millisecond-accurate clocks, we struggle with precise timing. After 6 months of solitary practice, Marcus finally played basic chords and tempo. What might take others a week had taken half a year, but he was ecstatic. With his sabbatical halfway complete, panic struck. He needed a teacher. Enter Don, a 30-year veteran from his local guitar store. Teachers motivate, provide structure, and create accountability. Most importantly, good teachers identify specific errors rather than vaguely instructing students to practice. Don's philosophy matched Marcus's, understanding music's concepts rather than memorizing songs. The specific method matters less than having instructors who listen well and provide constructive, enthusiastic feedback.
While practice is crucial, dismissing talent entirely misses reality. Psychologist Anders Ericsson claimed outstanding performance stems purely from deliberate practice, not innate ability. But this commits a logical error. Practice mattering tremendously doesn't mean talent is irrelevant. Great musicians need both optimal genes and optimal environments. The hereditary component is striking. Musical dynasties, the Marleys, Bachs, Mozarts, reveal undeniable genetic influence. Even when musicians like Norah Jones develop different styles from their parents, or Jeff Buckley sounds eerily like the father he met only once, hereditability shows through. Twin studies consistently show genetics predicts behavior better than shared family environment. Musical capacity stems from genes affecting memory efficiency, curiosity, absolute pitch, and composition ability. Edwin Gordon's study found nearly half the variation in children's musical performance could be predicted 3 years in advance through aptitude tests. Pat Metheny exemplifies this combination. Despite relentless practice, he comes from an extraordinarily musical family with exceptional auditory sensitivity. When he picked up guitar at 12, he was playing professionally in Kansas City's best jazz clubs within 3 years. The evidence is clear. Talent and practice both matter tremendously.
Why does music exist? Popular theories claim it evolved for mate attraction or social bonding, but these fail to explain why most artists toil in obscurity. For every Picasso whose fame spread his genes, thousands never reproduced their artistic success genetically. The real answer? Music isn't an innate mental mechanism, but a technology refined over 50,000 years to maximize flow, that state of joyous immersion where time disappears. Each generation developed new ways to keep listeners entranced. Physical instruments like the piano, adding dynamic control the harpsichord lacked, and synthesizers, plus intellectual innovations like harmony, which didn't exist before 900 AD, steady percussion imported from Africa, and structures like the 12-bar blues that balance familiarity and novelty. Cultural selection, not natural selection, shaped music. Techniques that hold attention persist, others fade. We've made the error of the historical present, assuming what's compelling now was always compelling. Artists have evolved their craft to increasingly tickle the brain, like Disney gradually making Mickey Mouse cuter over decades. With all the techniques available to modern musicians, from harmony and percussion to equalizers and synthesizers, we can't help but get into the groove. After 18 months, Marcus achieved remarkable progress, forming chords effortlessly, distinguishing intervals, improvising, and understanding music deeply. His brain had genuinely changed. Musical training correlates with language learning, higher IQs, and disproportionate Nobel Prize representation among musicians. But the real rewards run deeper: creativity, improvisation, ongoing growth, and the satisfaction of constantly developing. Music brought Marcus two unexpected gifts. First, a circle of creative friends. Second, powerful new expression. He wrote a song for his ailing Uncle David, capturing his seriousness through minor chords, crafting lyrics about David's intellectual influence and spiritual struggles. When Marcus performed it in North Carolina, David called him a nascent Bob Dylan. They shared their deepest conversation that night. David passed away 5 weeks later. That musical connection brought closure words alone never could. This is why we learn music, despite the struggle. Not to become virtuosos, but to touch something profound in ourselves, in others, in the spaces between notes where meaning lives. Your brain is waiting to be rewired. The only question is, will you pick up the instrument?